We turn this evening to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and we shall read from verse 23 down to verse 40. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell for evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein for ever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. And now to the chapter which is before us in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. And we shall read verses 6, 7, and 8, which will be the basis of this evening's sermon. Genesis 35, verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon Bacoth. May God bless to us abundantly the reading of his holy word. Continue in our study of the book of Genesis for the benefit of visitors with us. I might say for some 3 to 4 years now we have been working through the book of Genesis in expository ministry on Sunday evenings. In our last sermon, you will remember, it was based upon verses 2 to 5 of Genesis chapter 35. Four verses packed with both doctrinal and practical teaching. the putting away of those things which may have infiltrated the life of an individual or of a church. Then the cleansing, the putting off of the old and the putting on of the new. Practical teaching too as to our physical preparation as well as spiritual before attending the house of God. Then we saw not only the collection of the idols and strange gods, but also the putting away of the earrings. Now, one said that all jewelry is not wrong, certainly not, but some is. And much that is worn today, even by the people of God, has evil connotations. It has superstitious, even idolatrous origins. This was the case in Genesis chapter 35, and all was handed in, all was buried and put away. We looked at several scriptures which substantiated this. And then in conclusion, we saw the great exodus to Bethel from Shechem. And although Jacob had been so fearful of the neighboring tribes and how they would react to the barbaric acts carried out by his sons whilst at Shechem, yet all was peaceful as they moved out. Not a hand was lifted up against them. Why? The providence of God. We read that the terror of God was upon those cities that were round about them, and they went out in peace. Yes, one says again, the hearts of all men are in the hand of God. He turneth the hearts of kings as rivers of water whithersoever he will. Remember too, let us not lose sight of this. It formed a major point in last week's sermon that Jacob had acted aright and in a God-honoring manner. And the people also had cleansed themselves and all idolatrous symbols had been put away. Consequently, God proved his faithfulness in acting according to his word, as found in the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so unmolested, we saw Jacob and his family leave Shechem and head for Bethel, which brings us to today's section, verse 6. And so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. Now the Holy Spirit gives specific detail here. Jacob came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan. There was another Luz. It was in the land of the Hittites. We read of it in the book of Judges, chapter 1 and verse 26. But this was the Canaanitish Luz. The Spirit of God is to leave us in no doubt about this. He came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan, the place where Jacob was when God found him, the runaway, the schemer, the place where God found him in that state, Bethel. Then we are further told that all the people were with him. All the people were with him. Not one remained behind. Not one dropped out on the way. And neither were any molested or hindered on the journey. They came to Bethel with all the people. Verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. He came to Luz and he built an altar. Jacob's first act in front of all the people. And having completed that altar, he calls the place El Bethel. He recalls the experience of some 30 years previously when God appeared to him, when he, as a frightened fugitive, fled from his brother who had threatened to murder him, and it was no idle threat. We've traced the life of Jacob over those 30 years. What a life it's been. But he comes to this place again now. He's returned to the spot. On the first occasion, he named the place Bethel. Now he renames it El Bethel. And as he does it, he recalls those experiences. For then it was at the first that the Almighty promised to be with him, to keep him in all places, and to bring him safely back to his native soil. I will not leave thee, said his God, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Recorded in Genesis 28 and verse 15. I will not leave thee, said God when he found that fugitive, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I'll bring thee safely back. Yes, then Jacob named the place Bethel. But 30 tempestuous years had since passed. Now he's back to the self-same spot. He reminisces before that altar which he has built. He looks back over the checkered experiences. He renames it El Bethel. It really means God, the God of Bethel, or the strong God of Bethel. 30 years ago, having met with God at Luz, and naming it Bethel, he went on then to Padan Aram with those wondrous promises of God ringing in his ears. And now after 3 decades, he's back, standing upon the same soil. And as he looks back over that span with all the anxiety, with all the tumult, the turmoil, the problems of those 30 years. He calls out before that altar which he's just erected. He calls out, God, the God of Bethel of 30 years ago, who promised so much. God, thou hast proved thy power and thy might. Thou art to me the strong God, the mighty God. So he names it El Bethel, the mighty God of Bethel. We come now to verse 8. Perhaps before we pass on to verse 8, I might make an application here. Here the patriarch, I say again, reminisces, goes back over. Yes, God promised all this. What a period it's been. He's never failed. Beloved, do we frequently come into the presence of God in this way? It's a good exercise to go back over those difficult periods in life when the going has been hard, when the clouds have hung low upon us, when things are not going right, when sorrow dogs our pathway, difficulties, anxieties hedge us in. Oh yes, we committed our way to the Lord, but my, we were anxious. We were worried, yet we're here today, are we not? We're still here. And as we recall those experiences, perhaps we relive them. Cannot we say, God, my God, the God of Bethel, has been with me all the time. I say it's a good exercise to reminisce in the presence of God. Verse 8. And as we come to this verse, it almost seems like a parenthesis. You see, the narrative would be complete without this verse. It appears almost as an intrusion. But this cannot be. For no verse of Scripture is included within this sacred volume without a purpose. And so we must not pass it over. Look at it. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Allon Bacchus. Deborah. Well, who is she? We have come through 34 chapters in the book of Genesis, covering well over 2,000 years to date of human history. And we've never heard of a Deborah before. Who is she? Where did she suddenly spring from? Ah, but the Spirit of God identifies her in this verse. Deborah, Rebekah's nurse. Rebekah's nurse. My, that goes back a bit, doesn't it? Yes, it goes right back to Genesis chapter 24, to Abraham's day, when he sent his servant down into Mesopotamia to seek a bride for his son Isaac. And there it was that Rebekah was found by Eliezer and wooed. And verse 59 of Genesis 24 reads, you'll remember the verse as I read it to you, and they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. Here is Rebekah's nurse being sent off with her by Father Bethuel and Brother Laban. And this was well over 100 years before. Indeed, according to Hebrew chronology, it was 125 years previous. Well, she was obviously a mature woman at that time, or she would not have been employed as a handmaid to Rebekah. She obviously had reached an age of maturity at that period. And Jacob, now in Genesis chapter 35, would be approximately 110 years of age So this would make Deborah a very old lady. Both Leopold and Calvin suggest an age of 170 years. And as near as I can work out, that is approximately it. But how come Deborah to be in Jacob's household? She came up from Mesopotamia with Jacob's mother before she and Isaac were married. And then she settled as nurse in Isaac's household. Now, true it was that Jacob was back in his own country again, but he had made no contact with his father Isaac as yet. He'd not returned to his father's household. Now, both Calvin and Gill have very interesting comments to make on this. Now, it may be conjecture, but I find it most reasonable. We have before assumed that Rebekah was dead, Isaac's wife. There is mention still of Isaac. He was still living. But Rebekah long since has dropped out of the picture. Gill and Calvin are both of the opinion that when Rebekah died, Deborah made her way back to Mesopotamia again, to her native country. But when she arrives back at Mesopotamia, she finds Jacob there, the one that she had nursed as a babe. He's back in Mesopotamia. And there, Calvin suggests that she joined herself to Jacob's household. One, I say, whom she had nursed as a child, and now he himself has a large family. And renewing acquaintance with Jacob and seeing his lovely family, she attaches herself and is received among them as a holy matron, assisting in the upbringing of those 12 children, looked upon almost as a grandmother. And in consequence of this, when Jacob left Padan Aram and the country of Laban with all his family, Deborah returns as well. Yes, it may be conjecture, but is it not reasonable? How did she come to be in Jacob's household otherwise? And I believe that when in verse 6 we read that Jacob came to Bethel and all the people that were with him, that Deborah, the old family nursemaid, was among them. And then as we come on to verse 8, we read, and Deborah died. A loving and faithful servant who had been with the family for some 140 years. I have said before that the Bible is not a lazy man's book. Facts, figures, names, dates, ages are given to be studied, worked out, and computed. And if they're not, then the Old Testament won't make any sense at all. We'll make a glorious jumble of the whole thing. And it is not without reason that verse 8 is included in this chapter. For here is brought before us the happy end of a loyal and devoted servant, one mentioned only twice in the whole of the Bible. One verse in Genesis chapter 24, and this verse in chapter 35. But between those two verses, there spans 140 years of fidelity, of loving devotion, and loyalty to duty. And the Spirit of God writes her obituary. And Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died. To me, there is something very touching and wonderful about this verse. Then it goes on, she was buried. Where was the funeral? At Bethel, the house of God, the house of God. Had she stayed back in the country of Laban, she probably would have had a pagan funeral. But no, as a young girl, she had identified with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She had known the three generations well, the generation of Isaac, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. She'd known the three generations well, I say, and now there was a fourth. Jacob had 12 children. She'd witnessed the four generations. Oh, there's no doubt she was present when those twins were born, to Rebecca and to Isaac. She was engaged as nurse. She knew the scheming mind of the youngest twin. He was a heel catcher from the start. She knew all the problems within that family, the tensions. She knew the rivalry between those two boys. She knew, too, that there was favoritism upon the part of the parents. Esau was father's boy. Jacob was mother's. Sad thing in a family. We dealt with all this many months ago. Tragedy when it happens. But Deborah was living with them. She knew all this. She knew the intimate things pertaining to this family circle. Yes, she knew the problems, the tensions. And she knew the deception which had taken place there. There was a threat of murder in that home. She was there when Jacob fled the country. You see, she was as one of the family. And I believe she loved them all. Now she had lived long enough to see the supplanter come home, return to Bethel, build an altar, and call upon the mighty God. And then the old nurse dies. Wonderful end to her devoted service. I feel this was a very touching funeral. Probably after the building of that altar, the very next religious exercise of the patriarch was to bury the old family friend. Oh, I'm quite sure that Jacob's heart was very full that day. What memories were revived as this faithful nurse, upon whose knees he had sat for many an hour as a child. I say, what memories were revived as this faithful matron was laid to rest under the spreading boughs of an oak tree. So sad was that household at the loss of this loyal and devoted helper, that they named the spot Alan Bacchus, which literally means the oak of weeping. Many tears were shed that day under that oak tree, hence its name. Wonderful little incident is this, I feel, which seems to be tucked into the Word of God by the Holy Spirit almost as an extra. Well, what are we to learn by it? What are we to learn by it? For let us never forget that all these things, the preface to this study, going back over the years, the introductory sermon, all these things written aforetime are written for our learning, and this verse is no exception. What are we to learn? Beloved, is there not a lesson in faithfulness in this verse? Her life was one of comparative seclusion. Just read of her send-off. We read of her death, and there's 140 years in between of seclusion. She never hit the headlines. Yes, I say from the first we know that she went out with Rebekah, that she threw in her lot, as it were, with Abraham and Isaac, the people of God. And it's 140 years before she comes to light again. And she's still with them. She's still with them. During that long time, she had been faithful. And she'd endeared herself to them all. The details of her death and funeral convey this to us in no uncertain way. She was greatly beloved. Now, there are others in the Bible who we do not read a lot of, but what we do read is most forceful and suggestive. I think just now of another such. In the second book of Kings, in chapter 5 and verse 2, you'll know the story. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." A little domestic, a little captive girl, a little domestic living in again with the family. And although young, she was conscientious. She entered into the joys and into the problems of the household. And Naaman, her master, was a leper. And she shared her mistress's concern over this. The captive girl, the little domestic, knew of a God of which the Syrians knew nothing. And in love and in compassion to her employers, one day she speaks, and my, what blessing came into the home of that army captain's life. A devoted, faithful little girl. And all we know of her is found in just two verses. Have there not been many Christians like this? They never are seen in the public eye. But how many sisters today are like Deborah, godly matrons? They have accompanied with the people of God for many long years. Maybe they too can span three or four generations in their thinking. They have been faithful and devoted to the family of faith. They have endeared themselves to all. Now, just as God did not overlook Deborah over 3,000 years ago now, but broke in upon the divine record to make mention of her and to record also the words of a little Israelitish captive girl, so also is the loyalty and devotion of every believer, sister or brother, seen and recorded of God. Never be bothered with the public eye, beloved. Be true and faithful to God and to men in the daily round and the common task. And this is the all-important thing. And one day, God will make known the record. For he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so may this word be blessed to us today for his glory. Amen. We close by singing hymn number 780. 780. My gracious Lord, I own thy right to every service I can pay, and call it my supreme delight to hear thy dictates and obey. 780.
I ever last hour of life confess his love hath animating power.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word to us this day, both morning and evening. Write its sacred truth upon our hearts, we pray. May it not be forgotten by us, but meditated upon, just as sheep chew their cud and digest the food which they have taken in, and so it be assimilated within their very bodies and beings. So as thy word is meditated upon by us, may it become part of our very personalities, that we might be marked by purity of heart, as we saw this morning, and faithfulness of life, as we have seen this evening. So set thy seal upon thy truth to this end. Go with us now as we go to our homes. We separate the one from the other for a few days. Watch over us, our God, until we come together again. In all the varied experiences and circumstances which lie behind our doors, be with us all, each family circle, we pray, and undertake in the multiplicity of our needs, the problems as well as the joys, near and undertake, especially near to those whose hearts are sad, and to those who have the problem of sickness. Be very near to such where there is great need, our God, grant special grace. We pray for visitors with us today. We thank thee for the renewal of fellowship. Thank thee for those that have visited us for the first time. We pray thy blessing upon them. But as they are in this area on this glorious summer time, grant unto them refreshment of body. Grant unto them refreshment of soul, that they may go, our God, from this area having happy memories, both materially and spiritually, and undertake and bless them in their respective fellowships. And now we pray again that the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.